would appreciate your prayers. The Lord would bless us here tonight. We have a very special gift tonight. We have Tom. You still have Tom tonight. I don't know, nobody can say how much time you have left, but you have time tonight. Isn't that a precious thought? If there's anything that you need to do, you have time to do it. But I want you to think very seriously about the idea that you're not always going to have it. It's going to run out. And it's hard sometimes for us humans to really get our minds around that. And it's going to run out. And you've probably been in services before where the preacher gets up and talks like this, but it's just a fact anyway. And we don't know. And you want to use the illustration of sands of an hourglass. You don't know how much sand's run out. And you don't know how, you know how much is run out, but you don't know how much is left to run. You don't know, and we're interested in meeting God in peace, and the Lord is interested. He's trying everything He can. He's working within the realms of His plan and His creation of humanity. He's doing what He can do to work in our hearts. There's a part for God to play, and He plays His well. And He gives us a part to play. And He works on that to try to help us be able to do what we need to do. And I want to think about it tonight as we look into this, that the Lord would help us to put a very sober mind about the time that we have. And more than that, the idea that it's going to end. It's going to run out. For some people, they get to come to a place in their lives that they understand that. They know that their body is giving up on them. And maybe medical science tells them, if it goes this way, this is about what you've got. And people get that kind of position sometimes in life to where they can understand that the normal course is that they're running out. But then there's other situations that's not like that. There's situations that people go off the scene real sudden. There's situations to where people just go along pretty good, and all of a sudden it hits them and their heart fails them right there in an instant, and they go off in eternity. And I know you can think that's for old people, but I can give you a lot of accounts of young people that we've been shocked at to hear the story that they had a massive heart attack and they left this world just like that, never knowing that it was going to happen. We have an illustration in the Scriptures of a rich man whose fields brought forth plenty, and he sits and ponders and wonders about it. Don't say the age of the man, of course, but he ponders what he's going to do, and he says within himself, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll make bigger barns. So I'll have greater ones. I'll make bigger barns so that I can put all my bestow all my goods, and I'll say to my soul, eat and drink, be merry, and you got much laid up and you can just have it at ease. But the Lord said, thou fool, that's a foolish idea, thou fool, this night, only in your dreaming, only in your pondering of what you was going to do, foolish idea to take that and just squander it. You're not always going to have that time. You're not always going to have it. It's going to end. Not only is it going to end, but God's ability to work in your life is going to end. You may still be on the planet, but God's ability to work in your life is running out. You know, there was a story of Noah, and the Lord comes to Noah and says to Noah, I've seen the wickedness. I've seen the wickedness of my creation, and it repents me that I even made this. And I'm going to destroy it. But, folks, listen. Judgment is always preceded by the warning. God gave a warning that I'm going to destroy all flesh because of the wickedness that goes. I'm going to destroy it. And he said to Noah, I want you to accomplish this for this. But there was time. As a matter of fact, there was years. There was a year. It was 120 years or something. It was a period of time that the Lord gave people, but it was running out. It wasn't always there. It's going to run out sometime. But God's ability to work with these people, he said that the imaginations of the thoughts of their heart was only evil continually. He tried. He tried through his spirit. He said, my spirit won't always dwell with men. It's trying. It's trying to touch your heart about where you're at and the fact that you're mortal and the fact that you are going to leave this planet and you're going to be in the great beyond one of these times. Forever and ever, we're going to make it to eternity. We're going to meet God one time with whatever the deeds of this life is. And God wants to deal with us in this time period, wants to try to get a hold of our hearts. Reprove us of sin. Convict us of sin. Convict us of everything that's not like him so that we can come to the place that we can have our life saved. Thank God that Jesus come for that purpose, that we might be saved. And he works in that capacity. He wants all of us saved. I want to tell you tonight, Jesus loves you and he wants you to be saved, and it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. His heart's desire, his mind, his spirit is working towards that end in this time life to bring you to a place of repentance so that you can meet him in peace. And that's the plan of God. He come to, in Noah's day, he brought the plan. He wanted the repentance. He wanted the help. The ark's going to be there, but there come a day to where the Lord said, the days are full. It's coming to the end now. And what he had prophesied is going to come true. And Noah said to these people, no doubt, I mean, a preacher of righteousness, he must have told them, God, what are you doing, Noah? This is what the Lord said he's going to do. Noah didn't say it's what he's doing, what the Lord's going to do. And they know about now. Maybe they mocked and made fun of him and all of those things and went on in their evil ways. But that God's heart wasn't that they be destroyed, folks. God wanted to save them. But they ended up being in a place that God couldn't do. He couldn't touch them. And Lord, help us that we don't get into that kind of place. There's a scripture where Jesus said, they say in the street, so to speak, they say, we've piped into you, but you won't dance. You haven't danced. Well, when are you going to dance? I use this illustration quite a bit in that scripture, but you know, you don't have to train a child to move to music. Well, I mean, there's something in there to get you going. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know that's true. I've seen my little ones start off when they just wee little start with the music. Well, the idea is that we pipe to you. And if you ain't going to dance at the ultimate opportunity, that's when you get the feeling like moving. If you ain't going to dance when the music's piped, you ain't ever going to dance. Because there ain't nothing going to stir your heart to make you want to dance. He said, we've lamented to you, but you haven't weep. You don't weep. You don't cry. Well, you know, it's contagious. You see somebody that starts crying, telling a sad story, and they start crying. And you know, you start feeling, you'll start tightening, you'll start feeling. We do that, don't we? And what he's saying is, you think you're going to cry when you're not being lamented to? If you're not going to do it when the Lord's working, you ain't ever going to do it. we have time tonight. Saints have never promoted dancing, but in the spirit of the thought, it's time to dance. The Lord is sending some music. What's some movement? What's some response? There's still time to respond. There's still time to get some things right in your life. There's still time for it. But it isn't always going to be time. There's going to be a time right before the judgment of your life comes. That in the day of Noah, the scripture says that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I think that's over in Matthew 24. But he was saying that it's going to be a similar to that. And you notice that when it was time, that the scripture says, and the Lord shut the door. You know why that's important? Because if Noah shut it, Noah opened it again. Noah didn't shut the door, folks. It wasn't his job to shut the door. When the Lord shuts the door's shut. When it comes to the fullness. You know, I believe if there was a soul that was there, that it would have had a heart to have repented the next day God had waited on him. He got until their cup was full of wickedness and there was no repentance left. There was nothing left for him. He tried what he could. He preached to him. He piped to him. He lamented to him. He worked with him, tried to help him, but their time ran out. And there was nothing that God was left for him to do. Well, Lord, help us today because the valuable thing, it ain't been no flood here yet. Rained hard today, but it ain't flooded us out. No more floods, no more floods. Next time's fire. But more than that, your life is going to run out one of these times. You're going to find the end of it. And it's going to come to the end. And the Lord working. And He wants you to be saved. He loves you. He wants you to be saved. He wants to help you. But you know what? If you don't respond to it, get harder and harder. When is it going to happen? Now, Lord, help us. We still have time. We have time to work with. Over in, I want to start with Luke, the 13th chapter. Oh, let's see, maybe 34. Old Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee. That's pretty bad stuff, isn't it? But it didn't deter the Lord. That's who they were. But it didn't stop him from coming. It didn't stop him from coming and reaching out and making the opportunity. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent to thee. How often would I have gathered thy children together as a hen doth gather her brood under her wing. And here is the worst imaginable. It says, and you would not. God was reaching out. God was in their portion of their time, while there was time. Well, they had a chance to repent of those things. Well, there was a chance to change. He was reaching out to them. Yeah, you have a history. You stoned the prophets. Yeah, you've been bad. All these things. But I'm the Son of God and I come to you. And reach the gospel to you. I show you through miracles, through wonders, through power. If you knew the scripture at all, you would have believed it was the Son of Man, for He fulfilled it all. He should have proved to them that He was the Messiah come to them. But they would not. They wouldn't do it. I would have gathered you together and protected you and held you. And this is what He's saying. This is an amazing fact of history to me. Jesus prophesied of the destruction of Jerusalem. 70 AD. There was an insurrection in Jerusalem. The Roman general Titus moves troops in, surrounds it, casts up a wall around it. And Josephus, the historian, he's a Jewish historian, was outside the city. He went in Jerusalem. And he was actually an ambassador to it. He was actually sent to try to appease back and forth. Now, he wrote the account. He's a Jewish historian, not a Christian historian. This Jewish historian told the story of the destruction of Jerusalem, and it so matched the words of Jesus, you'd have thought he was quoting him. Jesus had prophesied what was going to happen. He had come to them and warned them and told them, your cup's filling up. Your time is running out. This is what's going to happen. And he warned the Christians. They understood it. And those that knew the words of Jesus, when they saw those things happening, the history says that there was no Christians caught in the siege at Jerusalem because they saw the signs up to it and they all left out of there. It was so hideous and bad in the city that when they didn't give up, that they began to eat their own children. They began awful, hideous things at that time. It was awful, awful scenario. Titus commanded his troops not to tear the temple down. This is a part of Josephus' history. It said not to destroy the temple. But Jesus said that it would be destroyed and there wouldn't be a stone left on upon another one. But General Titus, some years later, told him not to even touch it or destroy the temple. Whose word won? Even at that command, they got in their fervor and frenzy and ended up completely destroying the temple to the fact that at the end there wasn't a stone left upon another. Just like the Lord had said. He told them exactly what was going to happen to them. I think it's interesting, more history. Titus was an adopted son of Emperor Vespasian, and Vespasian after they looted it all, they took the loot from Jerusalem and took 16,000 Jewish slaves and built the Colosseum, one of the most decadent things and most the thing that the Jewish people would have hated. It definitely wasn't kosher. They took they built it at the Roman labor force. Well, I tell you, when it falls on you folks, it falls. And Jesus had said, here is what happened, but here is what I wanted to happen. How often I would have gathered thee together as a hen does her brood, her chicks, and it wasn't my fault. You would not. You wouldn't do it. The Lord has, folks, listen, the Lord has a very, very good life for you. It's free from the troubles of this world. Oh, and there's troubles in this world, but you got God on your side. It's a whole different thing. There is so much you're spared from. Oh, you could be incarcerated for serving the Lord in some places. But you'll save yourself a lot of heartaches like that by serving the Lord and honoring authority and honoring those and doing it the way the Lord wants you. Oh, you'll save your lot of trouble. You can have a good marriage. You can have a good... God can work in your life. How often I wanted to protect you. How often I wanted to take care of you. But you wouldn't allow me to do it. You turned it down. And folks, listen. It didn't happen when Jesus said it. It happened in 70 A.D. Some 30-some years, 40 years later, it happened. And he's saying, your time will eventually run out. God's doing everything he can do. You know, it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. God's going to be good. And even when things that don't look so good that comes along in the lines of conviction, that's the goodness of God paying you attention. You don't want God to quit paying you attention. You want God to keep working with you and helping you and working with you. And it's the goodness of God that leadeth men to repentance. And that's what the call of the gospel is all about. That Jesus came and died on a cross to pay for the sins that you can't pay for. And he will pay them for you. And he said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. That's the call of the gospel. And he still is calling today, turning down the opportunity of the time to make it right. Folks, it's going to run out. And it's going to run out in a notion, in a time, and we're going to all say, oh no, it run out. I don't have any time left. Oh, what did I do? There was a rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a poor man, a beggar, that sat at his gate, full of sores. The dogs come and licked him. He just wanted a crumbs from the rich man's table. And the man lived sumptuously, wore purple, and lived sumptuously every day. I think the word sumptuous has to do with eating. It does. It means he ate a lot. He had plenty to eat. The other guy don't have nothing but to eat. But there was no indication in that, or reason that we could think that they was at odds with one another. Didn't really say that. But you know, both of their times run out. Lazarus died. And the rich man died also. And folks, they always do. They always do. No matter what it is, you come down to the end of it. And some of the richest people on this planet are the poorest ones. Now, Lord, help us. We have time tonight. You have time tonight. Over in Amos, the 8th chapter of Amos, Brother Sammons used to say that it's a dangerous thing to trifle with God. It is. God loves us and will do everything that He can do within the realms of His plan. And I say that because we know God can do anything that He wants to do, but He's willed certain things He won't do. And when He created mankind, we have the ability to choose. He give that to us. I think He's an all-sovereign God. And I think He's sovereign enough to make a creation that He gave will to. And He backs off on it and He honors the creation. And He said, I'm going to let you choose. I want you to love me, but you don't have to. But that's a choice. I mean, to be honest with you, I understand it totally. I'd rather keep my wife, but it'd be better if she just wants to stay. I mean, honestly, it's much more fulfilling the idea that she wants to be there. I mean, I like to hug my wife. I'm not getting too personal here, but I like to hug my wife. But I don't want to just do it and she not want to. I might do it anyway, but it wouldn't be as good. It'd be better if she wanted to, right? Well, God gives us the choice, and we have to make the choice that God gives. And He won't. He'll say, I want you to love me, but I ain't going to make it happen. I'm not going to. I want you to want to look at me and say, you're worth it. You're valuable. You are God. And love God for who He is. So He works in our choice. And within that choice, we have time to make choices. You made a choice, everybody that's old enough, you made a choice to come here tonight. That's a good choice. You made the choice to do it. And we make choices every day. We make all kinds of choices. We got time to make choices with. If you're not right tonight, you got a question about your where you're going to go at the end of this thing, thank God that you have time. And you may say, not now, brother. I aim to, but not now. I'll get saved later. Oh, I want to warn you about the get saved later thing. When you don't know that you'll always feel like you feel. Do you know that? There's been times that I really had desires to do stuff. I mean, in hobby, what? You know, going to do hobby. Even enough to go buy the stuff or do the stuff. What are you going to ever do? How many of you all ever started something like that and then got a little ways into it? Nah. It just, you know what I'm saying? You run, I'll do it later. Later comes and it's like, I don't have no passion for that anymore. I don't have no desire for it. You getting saved later? You may never feel like that. You may never see the value of salvation. It takes the Lord's drawing to get there. Over in Amos 8, it says, thus saith the Lord God, showed unto me. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Whoa, what a statement. Amos, what do you see? Now, you got to get the picture here. What do you see? I see a basket of really, really, really ripe fruit. And anybody that's ever fooled with really, really ripe fruit, there's a little bit of time. It's now. If you're going to eat it, you better eat it. If you're going to do something with it, You can't wait till tomorrow on this. What do you see, Amos? I see a basket that's come all the way. Now, there's a really, really interesting thought that goes along with this. God has all kinds of methods, don't he? God's got all kinds of ways to deal with the hearts of people. Thank God. Do you know God can work in adversity? Well, he can stir our hearts in adversity. We say, I need something. Well, this is too big for me. I need help here. And it makes me go to the Lord. And then there's times when I'm feeling a little different, and the Lord just floods me with blessing. Gives you sweetness. Gives you an extra. And you say, thank you, Jesus, for loving me and giving me that. God works with us in all the different possibilities of life. Sometimes there's pain. Sometimes there's sorrow. Sometimes there's sunshine. Sometimes there's rain. Sometimes there's storm. All of these are ways God has to deal with it. But here's something interesting about the summer fruit. Everything, when it gets to summer fruit, do you know sun don't bring summer fruit back to solid? Sun will only hasten it. There's the dew, sweet dew of heaven. But the dew's only going to cause it to go faster. The rain that comes down and the refreshings. The rain on the summer fruit's going to rot it faster. There's a place there to everything that God can do only hastens the process. We can get in a place to where we've neglected and denied the Lord that everything he tries to do only hastens our demise. The sun will do it, the rain will do it, the dew does it, the blessings occur. Everything that happens is only a bad thing for the soul. There's people out there that get the windfall of money and they use it for evil. They don't think about how good God's been. There's people out there that get afflictions and then it's only a bad thing and they don't look to God for the help. Once there's a certain place of neglecting the Lord, not putting him in there, everything that happens makes bitterness and sorrow and sin upon sin and worse. Amos, what do you see of Israel? I see a people that's completely given up and their time has run out. It's right down to borderline now. It's the last of the last. You don't do it right now. It's over. You know what you're going to do with this tomorrow? You know that basket of summer fruit? What he's going to say to Amos tomorrow? Amos, what you going to... I got to dump it out, Lord. The Lord's going to say, Amos, take that basket of summer fruit and go throw it over. I'm not passing by it no more. If they don't respond now, there's nothing left. I've tried. I can't send rain, can't send sunshine. There's nothing I can do. Folks, tonight you still got time. Wherever you're at, you still got time. If you're not feeling like it so much, you ought to at least in your intellect say, Lord, help me to feel. Lord, help me to feel. That I can understand and believe that there's a heaven and a hell and an eternity. My life's undone. Lord, help me to be able to feel it. Help me to be able to want to dance when the music's played. Help me to want to be saved. Your life is going to run out. Oh, you can make the argument, I don't believe all that, preacher. Well, you wouldn't be here tonight, probably, if you did believe. You wouldn't come here. But there's people that say that. And it's not true, but if it was true, you're still dying. We're all dying. That at the end, there ain't much left at the end. It's a dangerous thing to trifle with God. Amos, what do you see? You see a basket of summer fruit, and the end's come on Israel. You know, the old Israel is kind of like that. But I want to say something. As individuals, we look at this as an individual. What you been doing with your life? You've been responding to the Lord? Probably all over, what do you say, Greater Dallas, Fort Worth area. What is this, Saturday night? No doubt there'll be a lot of people lose their life tonight. There'll be automobile accidents. There'll be shootings. There'll be drug overdoses. There'll be suicides. There'll be car wrecks of different kinds. There'll be accidents of different kinds. There'll be stabbing. There'll be that. There's going to be a number of souls that's going to go out. There's going to be people right on the highway that's go out. Time's filling up and filling up. Folks, yours is running out too. Yours is running out too. It's an awful thing to trifle with God. I want to look at one more scripture. Oh, see, over in about Acts 5. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession. And they kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of land? While it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine own power? You know, Lord help us. You know, there's no reason to keep hidden things in your heart from God. I don't care whether you tell me or not. It really isn't important that I know. But you know, it's kind of a silly thing, if you want to say that, to not deal with everything that's in your life. Obvious is that God already knows about it. You ain't going to go anywhere about it anyway. And on special occasions, the Lord got the ability. I was telling somebody, Brother Ed Wilson had a little part in the message one time. He's talking about people that get out and commit crimes. And he made the comment is, there's one thing that they never consider on. They have this great plan, and they work it all out. But the thing that they don't consider in that whole plan is that God knew what they're doing, and he can tell them if he wants to. I mean, he can. And you know what? You've got this great plan, and you didn't figure on that guy. And the Lord just has somebody sitting up there on the balcony. He said, what's that? That guy's stealing that. I know that brother there. Hey, look at these. You can have the greatest plan you want to, but the Lord, and if he don't do it that way, he can send a little bird in the night to tell somebody. He can give somebody a dream that reveals what you've done. Well, Naaman come to, or the prophet came to David. He come to David and said, I want to tell you a story. This story's about you, David. How do you hear that? The Lord told me this story. Thou art the man, David. You've been caught because the Lord saw what you're doing. Now this is the same thing. Here's Ananias and Sapphira. I ponder about this. Not that I don't understand it. I got some feelings that I have done things like this. I mean, I can understand in our flesh and our battle and that, but it's an odd thing to me that people are living for the Lord and acting like that he don't see anything. I mean, Ananias and Sapphira, they didn't have to give a penny, did they? He said, it's yours. What are you lying to the Holy Ghost? It's in your own power. You own it. Nobody said you had to sell it. And when you sold it, you could put it in your own pocket. You all could have went out to eat. You could have done anything with it. You didn't have to give it up. But what you can't do is lie to the Holy Ghost. This is what you can't do. I'm going to tell you what you can't do, because this is going to get you in trouble if you do those kind of things. But what was they thinking? They was evidently into it enough to want to sell their property and give something. They was into it enough to try to fake people out to think they was good, solid saints. But was they not in it enough to know that the Lord sees everything? Was they not in it enough to know that he reads the heart? He knows more than your action. He knows why you do it. He knows what you got, your motive about what you're doing is. He knows the whole thing. So what's the facade? What is the thing? Folks, really, let's get to the reality of it. You're here tonight. God knows what you're doing. God knows exactly what you're doing. And if you want to go ahead filling the seat and saying, well, I'm a good saint. I mean, if you're in that condition, well, you can go ahead and do it. But you're only faking me out, and that ain't much. Because God knows what you're doing. God knows exactly what you're doing. But the problem is you're going to fake yourself out. The scripture says, little children, don't let no man deceive you. And it also says, don't deceive yourself. Self-deception. Well, you end up being deceived. That's the problem. End up being deceived. I'm all right because I do. No, it ain't all right. Well, here's the story. Ananias and Sapphira. So Peter comes and embraces him over it. This wasn't Peter's mind here. This was God. Ananias' cup was filled up. God is a merciful, loving God, and he loved Ananias. Ananias crossed the line. What nothing God going to do there? Folks, we all have time tonight. I just wonder what would have happened if Ananias would have said, just dropped on his face, weeping and crying, and said, I've done something I shouldn't have done. Have mercy on me. I wonder if it would have been the same conclusion. I don't think so. This is what it says. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. And great fear came on them all that heard these things. And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Peter answered unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet, and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carried her forth, buried her by her husband. Now listen to this. And great fear came upon all the church, and upon as many as heard these things. Now there gives you the heart of God why he did it. It was important to spread the gospel in truth. And it's set solidly. And I would to God that we all got this. This is how serious it is. This is how serious it is. Your time's going to run out. This is how serious it is that they play church. They're playing, pretending. And great fear fell upon all the church. You reckon anybody else was pulling little shenanigans like that? You think anybody else was raising a hand when they didn't have it? Better not say that. We're singing a hymn. They're singing the song. I can't sing that song. Mouth shuts up. I better get it right before I sing it that way. Better do that. Come on, you got some reality and you're going to do it right. I'm going to get it right. I'm going to have to be what I say I am. Well, God's going to look at it and it ain't going to be right. You sell it for so much? Yes, so much. That's what we're saints. We're all in. We're all in on this. We want the praise of being all in. It's noble. It's honorable. You know we're stuck in there for the cause. You lying about that? Lord help us. Lord help us. I'm a child of God. I'm going to tell you, a child of God is more than coming and filling up one of these seats. Child of God means that when the door's closed and you're sitting on the internet. Now, Lord, help us. I know a little bit about the modern world. There's a lot of stuff you can get on and get into. And Brother Marty don't know it. And he don't want to know it. But I want to tell you, God knows it. God knows exactly what's going to happen. And Lord have mercy. He loves you. He's dealing. He'll send rain to soften. He'll send sun to dry out, to warm. He'll send the things to try to get you to move towards him. You get in a place that'll do nothing but aggravate you. It'll get nothing but harm. But the Lord loves you and wants to save you, and you got time yet. There's still time to do it. There's time to repent of that thing. There's time to change those kind of attitudes. And you know what? You can say, well, I'm just driven to it. I've got a habit. I got a need. God can break those things. That's what he come to do. The power of God's Spirit can break those strongholds in your life. That's what he come to do. And before we leave this world, we need all of that broke. We need it all took care of. And our God's able to do it. And don't put no shortcomings on him. If any shortcomings on us, you give it all to God. God can work in your life. You can have power over this present world, your own flesh, and sin in this flesh. You can have power over it through Christ. by yielding yourself to Him. You just in ourselves, we can do nothing. Nothing we can do and nothing we can accomplish. But we have the right of choice, and we can choose to have a Savior that can help us to be able to have strength to do it through Him. So thank God tonight. I want to leave this with you. Time is a precious commodity that the Lord has graciously given us for this date, 2018, right here on Saturday night. We have time. And the time is precious for the dealing of our souls. Amen.